I'm Paul Ingles, and this is Jazz of Enchantment, a radio series featuring just some of the talented jazz players with ties to New Mexico, like pianist Bert Dalton. Perhaps it's not surprising that a musician from the sometimes frigid upper Midwest would look for excuses to tour the Southwest in the wintertime. Jazz pianist Bert Dalton did that. He brought his Chicago Jazz Exchange Ensemble to Arizona, New Mexico, and El Paso, Texas throughout the 1980s. When the group dissolved around 1990, Bert settled in Santa Fe and has played consistently in the region since, including with some greats like Herbie Mann, Bud Shank, Anita O'Day, and Eddie Daniels. He's formed new projects and toured widely, as well as taught and mentored others. His path to jazz began as a kid in the suburbs of Chicago. While studying music at Northern Illinois University, Bert told interviewer David House, he dove in as a performer on the fabled Jazz Row of the Windy City.
Got my butt kicked down there in Rush Street, and it was a really incredible education, I'll tell you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I say that jokingly. You know, the musical standard in Chicago is really high, mm-hmm. and of course, growing up there, I just assumed it was that way everywhere. And yet, I also sensed a real camaraderie among the great players in Chicago that if they sensed you had some ability, you would get corrected, but it was in the spirit of...
With love.
Yeah.
It was love taps.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, if they call a tune, and what do you mean you don't know that tune? Go home and learn it. And you would, because you didn't want to get embarrassed again.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
So it was a really great standard to aspire to growing up in that town.
Tell me how you got first involved with jazz. What was it that, I mean, why not like rock and roll or... whatever else.
Yeah, know? it was pretty weird. When I was a kid, all my friends were into what was happening, what was on the radio, and somehow that just didn't grab me. Probably the first jazz musician that I heard, and I must have been, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, was Ramsey Lewis. And I had been taking piano lessons for a while and dinking around. And there was a moment I was listening to, I think it was Wade in the Water he was doing. And I noticed that he was going back and forth between two chords, and it was grooving so hard, and it was so happening, and he was making things up. And I remember that moment when I was playing with my brother and a cousin who was a drummer. We were playing that tune, and I just realized that I could experiment, and I could play notes that weren't on the page. And it was like this light went off, and I said, gee, I like this world. I'd like to explore it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say Ramsey was kind of the first jazz musician that I listened to. And then the next one that sort of blew the gates wide open for me was Oscar Peterson.
Okay.
When I first heard him, and I just thought, wow, that's impossible what that guy's doing. I'd like to try to do a little bit of it. You know, not only his musicianship, but I was really struck by his sense of swing. And I think that's probably what attracted me right from the get-go, as you know, I really wanted to swing. And then what totally ruined my life, I was about maybe 16 years old. I'd just gotten my driver's license. The next town over is Elmhurst, which is the home of Elmhurst College and also the executive offices for Downbeat magazine. They're there now. And I saw that there was a Midwest Jazz Band Festival. And I said, well, I'm going to go check this out. Well, this was one of these things where all of these great Midwestern the big university jazz ensembles came and went head to head. It was kind of like a big football championship. You know, they were all trying to outplay each other, and I was so blown away that caused me to pick the school that I went to, Northern Illinois, just because I just wanted to play in that band.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was all about for me.
That's cool.
And it really turned out to be a great choice. They've got a stellar music program which continues to this day. It was started by Ron Modell, who is retired now, still around, wonderful, wonderful trumpet player from which I learned so much. He ran a great band, And his band was not as much about competition, but we're going to read a lot of different styles. We're going to play a lot of different kind of music. But the main thing is we're going to have a band that swings. And then I was so fortunate. I had the greatest piano teacher in the world, a guy named J.B. Floyd, Dr. Floyd, who has since moved on. He's now head of piano studies at University of Miami. An authority on Charles Ives. Very much into, and of course we're talking, I'm a really old guy, this was like early 70s, and he was a friend of, Buchla and Moog and all of those guys who were pioneers in the synthesizer world. And to me at that point, I didn't really connect with that, but I love the way that JB played. I mean, he was such a great jazz player, and then he'd play Rachmaninoff and make you cry. And he was the one who really, as a college freshman, basically he said, everything you've been doing up until now, you're going to forget it, and we're going to build your technique from ground zero. And he totally changed my approach to playing and is really, I can't tell you how much that helped, just being able to learn to play the right way without having to work so hard at it.
It's interesting how people pick a certain instrument or what happens, why that happens. And I'm kind of wondering why it was piano for you and why wasn't it, the guitar or the, xylophone, whatever.
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess, I think it's harmony that really got to me at first, I can remember being 6-7 years old and hanging out in the Sunday school room at church and finding triads on the piano. I vividly remember that and saying, wow, you can play notes at the same time and they sound cool together. So I think it was probably harmony that drew me to the instrument and the fact that, I'm so prejudiced. It's got, aside from electronic instruments, it's got the greatest range. It fits in any style. It's such a versatile instrument. And fortunately for me, it's an instrument on which one can make a living.
So you mentioned a little while ago about some of your influences like Bill Evans and Oscar Peterson, Ramsey Lewis.
Yeah.
But you also talked about some folks that you mentioned to me before, some folks that were less well known that you wanted to talk a little bit about that really were some strong influences on you as well.
Yeah, and what I've brought in, these are people that I've I know or have known. The first I'd like to talk about is the great Judy Roberts, who's really the unsung hero of Chicago. I first became aware of Judy when I was becoming aware of jazz and trying to, figure out how to do it. And I would go listen to her, and she was so hip. I mean, she had such this really swinging style on piano, which still astounds me to this day. I mean, she just swings like mad. Always had a great band to listen to. And, we talked about the Rush Street scene down there, and she was definitely entrenched in that. And to this day is still quite a part of that scene. So I've brought in a sample of a recording of hers, and also a couple of my Chicago buddies. On bass, you're going to hear Nick Tuntas, who I've played with extensively, and on drums, the great Rusty Jones, wonderful left-handed drummer. And these two guys swing like mad, too. And I think we've picked out a little section of her piano solo. The tenor player is Greg Fishman on this recording. Great record called In the Moment.
A little bit of Sweet Georgia Bright, Judy Roberts on piano. And there's another group that you wanted to mention as well.
Wonderful Brazilian pianist named Manfredo Fest. He came to the States from Brazil. He moved to Minneapolis-St. Paul, or as we used to call it, Minneapolis-Sao Paulo. And that must have been a shock going to that climate. But he was blind. This brilliant, brilliant Brazilian pianist, he had such a precision on the keys. It was just marvelous. And I loved his writing as well. This tune I brought is actually one that we enjoy playing in the trio. It's something called Who Needs It?
Music from Manfredo Fest, and Bert Dalton here talking to us about, actually, while we were listening to that, you had a really good story.
Well, Manfredo was a character, of course, being blind, he never let that stand in the way. We used to go out in the parking lot at the Playboy Club there, and he'd get on a bicycle, and he'd ride it around, and, you know, his buddy, okay, Manfredo, turn right. No, turn left. No. You know, and of course, he'd crash, and he thought it was really, really very funny.
Uh-huh. Who thought it was funny?
he did.
Well, I know for one thing that you're associated with the Banyuwa Soul.
Well, let me tell you about that. We were talking about El Paso. One of the great musicians of El Paso is the wonderful Ricky Malachi, who's my dear buddy. We had met in the days of the Chicago Jazz Exchange, and he would come and sit in with the group, and we would hang out. And we always said, gee, we really got to play together sometime. It would really be fun. So when I got established in New Mexico, I contacted Ricky, and I said, we've been threatening to do a project. Now is the time. And he said, yeah, you're absolutely right. So I got him to come up. He was kind of commuting back and forth. We put together a little jazz trio. We're getting some gigs. We got our foot in the door at the La Fonda Hotel, and I'm still there 12 and a half years later. Ricky said, I got a buddy in El Paso who is a conga player, Puerto Rican, and sings all that stuff. And we got talking about that. We said, well, what about a Latin group, but a small Latin group? I mean, it's just really cumbersome to try to travel an 8 or 9-piece group. I mean, a quartet is an ideal size to travel because it's, you know, one vehicle, two hotel rooms. You know, if you add that fifth person, all of a sudden the expenses double. Anyway, I mean, I'm being flippant about it, but we really thought it would be fun to try to, and we didn't know what we wanted to do. Is this going to be a Brazilian group? There was a style at the time, this is the early 90s, called samba reggae. Do we want to go there? We started sampling all of these different types of things. We played our first gig. I think we knew 6 tunes, and we wound up just improvising the rest of it. People looked at us like we were crazy. But anyway, the group evolved into a very tight Latin jazz group. I used a split keyboard thing so I could cover some of the brass parts. So I found myself playing the brass hits with my right hand, playing a left-handed montuno, and singing harmony parts in Spanish. So, and I couldn't think about any of it, or I'd get totally, totally confused. But what we wound up with was incorporating a lot of the traditions of salsa, you know, the Afro-Cuban clave. Instead of having timbales, we had drum set and congas. So Ricky and Danny kind of got, you know, their percussion groove happening. It was really good. Had that a wonderful bass player I mentioned. John Bell's the guy who came out. It was a buddy of mine from the Jazz Masters Trio days. We brought him back out from New York, and he was enthused about it because he was he's half Cuban and really knowledgeable and enthused about Latin music, and put together a really fun Latin jazz quartet. After the series of groups that I had been in, I had gone back to trio playing, which was kind of like returning home. And I'd always felt that my identity had been as part of an ensemble. And I was getting to the point in my life where I thought, well, I should probably get something out with my own name on it. But in order to validate that, it would be terrific to have maybe some recognized players on there. I had been friends, well, fans, I should say, of John Clayton and Jeff Hamilton for many, many years. Had bumped into them through Bumblebee Bob Weil's presentations that he used to do in Santa Fe. So I peripherally knew them. And I got a wild hair and went ahead and contacted John Clayton and said, hey, you know, I met you such and such a time, and we have a mutual friend in Bumblebee Bob Weil, and would there ever be an opportunity for recording with you and Jeff? Well, John Clayton should be our next Secretary of State. This guy is such a diplomat. He is just such a gentleman. I can't say enough kind things about him. And he returned my email within 2 hours and, you know, appreciated me contacting him and sort of made it sound like it was a possibility. And he said, well, why don't you send me some of your music so that we can make sure that I'm the right bass player for you? And as things unfolded, I, you know, sent him a few things and told him the concept of the project. And lo and behold, he said, yeah, Jeff and I'd be happy to do it. We just need to find a date. And I had suggested something about 6 months away to allow myself time to prepare. And he emailed back and suggested a date that was 6 weeks away and said, this is the only date that we can do it. And so I thought for a moment and I said, well, be careful what you wish for. So we went ahead and did it, and it was really a thrill. I'm so happy to have had that experience, and I'm very proud of the recording.
That's music from Burt Dalton, and along with John Clayton on bass and Jeff Hamilton on drums, Things Ain't What They Used To Be. It's from your CD.
Yeah, Midnight Coffee. You know, I've always felt that, you know, the piano bass drums combination has always been my favorite. I've just always really loved that trio format. And, you know, and I've said that I feel that the piano bass drums trio is to jazz what the string quartet is to classical music. You're basically crystallizing everything down into the most essential elements. Without any one of them, you don't quite have the whole. And boy, there's nothing a good trio can't do. There's nowhere a good trio can't go.
So where do you go when you play? Is that a valid thing to ask you?
I think it's a very valid question. And, you know, it's difficult to answer. And people say, oh, why do you close your eyes when you play? Well, you know, you're not using your visual sense at all. You're just listening. I don't think I could give you an address or a location of that place where we go.
Because I'd like to go there. I have a feeling.
Yeah. But it's certainly, you know, and let's keep it in the context of the jazz trio. You know, it's a place where those three minds meet and create together. It's a very democratic place where anybody can, through their nuances or musical ideas, lead the direction of the trio. It's very democratic in a certain way. You know, it's not a dictatorial thing where I say, I'm the piano player. I wrote the arrangement. We're going to do this. You are going to play in two. You're not going to pick up your sticks till letter B. And, you know, I don't find that the best music is made that way. The best music is made is when, in an ensemble like that, everybody has the freedom to use their own musical sensibilities and influence the direction that the three minds are going. You know, the little independent label that I've started to put out my own recordings is called Trialogue, which is, in essence, a conversation amongst three people,
mm-hmm.
which to me, that's it. So in terms of where do you go, I don't know. It's a place where I guess the minds meet and we all just try to listen to that music that is coming at us from somewhere outside of us and expressing that in a, you know, together.
What's going on with you right now?
What's going on right now is the current trio, which is John Bartlett on drums and Milo Jaramillo on bass. Two just amazing musicians, both from here in Albuquerque. These guys are so dedicated. They drive up to Santa Fe every Monday and Tuesday night. The La Fonda is our workshop, and this is where we've been working this trio now for 5 years, and it is slick and well-oiled. To me, it's a platform for great self-expression. It incorporates both sides of the brain. It incorporates the intellectual, the emotional, the technical. To me, there's just a whole experience there. And those very elusive moments when everything comes together, when you know you're really in synchronicity with the other musicians that you're playing with, when the ideas are flowing, you know, when those moments happen, I mean, to me, that's about as good as it gets.
Pianist Bert Dalton talking with David House. You can hear an extended version of our interview with Bert, as well as interviews with all the musicians in this series online at newmexicojazz.org. That's newmexicojazz.org. Also has photos there by Genevieve Russell, biographies, and more. Our staff also includes engineer Nola Daves Moses with help from Carol Boss. Other support from Albuquerque's Urban Enhancement Trust Fund, the New Mexico Humanities Council, KUNM, and Good Radio Shows Incorporated. I'm Paul Ingalls.